Welcome to the Every Nation New Jersey podcast. Every Nation is a Bible-believing, multi-ethnic, non-denominational church hoping to transform the world one life at a time. We hope you enjoy this podcast.
Thank you. church family. My name is Allie Bellows, and I'm excited to connect with you virtually today. So welcome to church. Before we settle in for the service, I have a few reminders for you. It is so important right now that we are all staying connected when a lot of us have been isolated and social distancing. So at Every Nation, you can stay connected through virtual connect groups, through weekly prayer calls, and more. For updates and information on all things Every Nation New Jersey, be sure to check out Facebook, Instagram, or Twitter. For now, settle in, get comfortable, and prepare your hearts and minds for the service.
I've walked among the shadows, you wiped my tears away. I felt the pain of heartbreak, I've seen the brighter days. I've prayed prayers to heaven from my lowest place. I have held your blessings, God, you give and take away. No matter what I have, your grace is enough. No matter where I am, I'm standing in your love. On the mountainside, I will bow my life to the one who set me there. In the valley, I will lift my eyes to the one who sees me there. When I'm standing on the mountain, I didn't get there on my own. When I'm walking through the valley, I know I'm not alone. Your God of the hills and valleys, God of the hills and valleys, I am not alone. I've watched my dreams get broken, in you I hope again. No matter what, I know I'm safe inside your head. On the mountainside, I found my life to the one who set me there. In the valley, I will lift my eyes to the one who sees me there. When I'm standing on the mountain, I didn't get there on my own. When I'm walking through the valley, I know I'm not alone. Your God of the hills and valleys, God of the hills and valleys, I am not alone. Father, you give and take away every joy and every pain. Through it all, you will remain over it all. Father, you give and take away every joy and every pain. Through it all, you will remain over it all. On the mountainside, I will bow my life. In the valley, I will lift my eyes. On the mountainside, I will bow my life to the one who set me there. In the valley, I will lift my eyes to the one who sees me there. When I'm standing on the mountain, I didn't get there on my own. When I'm walking through the valley, I know I'm not alone. Your God of the hills and valleys, God of the hills and valleys, I am not alone. Your God of the hills and valleys, hills and valleys, God of the hills and valleys, I am not alone.
Hey, good morning, Every Nation, New Jersey. God bless you. PA here. Just so grateful that you would spend your Sunday morning with us at Every Nation, New Jersey. And as always, I hope you got your cup of joe. You got your Bible ready to go. God has got a word for you. I'm excited to preach. We're continuing our series, Jesus and. Today, we're going to talk about Jesus and Lazarus. Did you know that the name Lazarus, it means one who God helps? And I believe God wants to help some people this morning. And so before we do, I need to give you just a couple brief announcements. If you have your phone out or whatever, I need you to get some dates down. Number one is this: October 7th through 9th, we're going to have a season or a time of prayer and fasting. So we're just calling it our fall prayer and fasting. October 7th through 9th, we're going to do prayer calls at 7 a.m. and 7 p.m. And we're going to be believing God for our nation, for our church, for the sick. And we just believe that God is a God who answers prayer. And then secondly, if you could write this down, October 11th, it's a Sunday afternoon at noon, immediately following, you know, our online service and our in-person service, we're going to meet at White Meadow Lake. Our very own Barb Levy has rented a spot for us there. And so, it's right there on the water, beach. We are encouraging everybody to pack a lunch, bring some of your own food and lawn chair or a kind of blanket, however you work. And, we're probably going to do a little bit of worship out on the beach and just enjoy socially distanced fellowship. So I hope to see you there. So remember, we're going to fast the 7th through the 9th, and then we're going to eat all kinds of food, on October 11th at the beach. So you got that in store. I want to roll into our tithe and our offering, section of our service this morning. And, I've learned this the hard way, that, powerful things can come in small packages. I can remember, painfully remember, I was in a hockey game playing against the New Jersey Devils. I was with Carolina, and a guy who is much smaller than me, he dropped the gloves to fight. And so I thought myself, I'm going to wipe the floor with this little guy, drop the gloves with this guy, and we start fighting. And the next thing I remember, I was in the third heaven. This guy cold cocked me, knocked me out. And so I am painfully aware that small things can be unbelievably powerful. And you know, Jesus in Luke chapter 19, he tells the parable of the 10 minas. Now, mina, it was actually a currency, a portion of money. It was equal to 3 months' wages. So it was a fair amount of money, and he gave it to 10 stewards that they were to steward this money well. And Jesus says, you're to make a profit. And so they each got a mina. And then Jesus comes back, and we're going to read this in Luke chapter 19, verse 17. It says this, Luke 19, 17. And it says, and he said to him, well done, good servant, because you have been faithful in a very little, you shall have authority over 10 cities. And so here's what I just want to highlight from this brief little story is that Jesus calls stewarding money well a little thing. Isn't that something? Like, it's a very little thing. But Jesus says, because you've done that, he says, I'm going to give you authority. Isn't that cool? As we can be faithful with what God gives us, Jesus says, I'm going to give you authority. And if Jesus can trust you in stewarding your finances well in the tithe and the offering, what won't he trust you with? All right. And so may God bless you as you give. And you can give really three ways here. You can give, you can go to our website, encnj.org, and just hit the giving icon. Or you can give via PushPay. It's on a texting platform. And so if you just text the letters ENCNJ to the number 77977, it's an unbelievably convenient way to give. And then lastly, you might be old school, and you can actually mail in your tithe and offering to 101 Gibraltar Drive here in Morris Plains, New Jersey. May God richly, richly bless you as you give. And so a little different this morning. Like, I always like to open with a little story. And so rather than me tell a story, I'm going to allow Oprah to tell us our opening story, a beautiful story about a little puppy by the name of Faith.
My son Reuben brought Faith to us about 3 years ago.
Reuben rescued Faith when she was only 3 weeks old, just as the puppy's mother was trying to smother her.
Sometimes in nature, dogs will actually kill their own if they're not strong, if they're not able to suckle. The mother dog was actually sitting on Faith when he found her. When he pulled her out to present her to me, I think that's when he realized that she was deformed. She looked up at us with a hope, a faith. Will you help me? Will you take care of me? You're my only chance.
Jude took the tiny pup to a veterinarian who recommended that she put her to sleep.
We never considered putting her away, especially because of her deformity.
The puppy was born with two severely deformed front legs and could only move by dragging herself along the floor.
The doctor said, if she continues, she'll rub a hole in her chest and her chin.
To survive, the little pup would have to learn to do something incredible, balance on her two hind legs like a human.
We chose to use peanut butter on the end of a spoon, and we'd lift it up, so she'd have to lift her chin up. Then it was a matter of sitting up. We put her out in the snow, just set her down, and she immediately just sprang up and sat up like a rabbit. So we motioned for her, come, come on, hop. And she took one hop. And when she took that first hop, we totally rewarded her with peanut butter and gummy bears and hugs and kisses. The day that she took her first really good hop was the day we solidified her name, Faith. It was our dog, Ein, who actually taught her to run like a human. He bit her on the back of the leg, and she chased him. She didn't even think about it. She just stood up and ran across the yard.
Our jaws were like, oh my God. It's like seeing a baby for the first time take their first steps. You're like, my baby, she can walk. The greatest thing about Faith is that she makes people happy.
Does he lick?
Yeah.
She is a demonstration of what it looks like to persevere. What it feels like to say, I can do what I want to do. Nothing can stop me.
I think she's amazing, and she's definitely a gift from God.
Hey, did you like that video? I mean, how powerful was that? You know, that I love that dog, Faith. It says that that dog that looked at her owner, Jude Stringfellow, with the eyes of faith, that she would help. And then I don't know about you, but when I see these stories, it stirs something deep inside of my soul. And I think that's intrinsic to in us as human beings. As we see that beauty somehow pushes through the brokenness of living in a sinful world. Like we know in our gut that there shouldn't be deformities in human beings, let alone in dogs. And so we see that. But yet when we're able to press through that, I mean, I feel like we get this flash of glory, the glory of God. And that's what I want to talk to you about this morning. Did you know that you have a story, and your story is designed for God's glory? And we're going to read a resurrection story this morning. And I believe God wants to resurrect some stuff in your life today. And so we'll be in John chapter 11, and we're going to look at Jesus and Lazarus. And just so you know, a little background to the Gospel of John. The Gospel of John is going to highlight throughout his Gospel seven I am statements. And you'll be familiar with many of these. Jesus says, I am the good shepherd. He says, I am the door. He says, I am the bread of life. And we're going to read in John chapter 11, Jesus is going to say this, I am the resurrection and the life. Listen, I am going to read a lot of scripture this morning. And so number one, you shouldn't be surprised because we're at church, okay? Number two, researchers are going to say, I can't hold your attention for more than 12 seconds, right? But I know you're going to prove them wrong, and you're going to dial in, because I'm going to read for a little bit longer than that. We're going to start in John chapter 11, verse 1. Jesus says this, or it says this in John chapter 11. Now a certain man was ill, Lazarus of Bethany, the village of Mary and her sister Martha. It was Mary who anointed the Lord with ointment and wiped his feet with her hair. That's going to be important. Whose brother Lazarus was ill. So the sisters sent to him, saying, Lord, he whom you love is ill. Another important point, that you can be loved by Jesus and still have your life go sideways. Verse 4, but when Jesus heard it, he said, this illness does not lead to death. It is for the glory of God, so that the Son of God may be glorified through it. I'm going to jump all the way to verse 17. Now, when Jesus came, he found that Lazarus had already been in the tomb for 4 days. Bethany was near Jerusalem, about 2 miles off. and many of the Jews had come to Martha and Mary to console them concerning their brother. Verse 20, so when Martha heard that Jesus was coming, she went and met him, but Mary remained seated in the house. Martha said to Jesus, Lord, if you had been here, my brother would not have died. But even now I know that whatever you ask from God, God will give you. And Jesus said to her, your brother will rise again. But Martha said to him, I know that he'll rise again in the resurrection on the last day. And Jesus said to her, and here's our money line, I am the resurrection and the life. Whoever believes in me, though he die, yet he shall live. And everyone who lives and believes in me shall never die. Do you believe this? She said to him, yes, Lord, I believe that you are the Christ, the Son of God, who is coming into the world. Hang with me. We're almost there. Verse 32. Now when Mary came to where Jesus was and saw him, she fell at his feet, saying to him, Lord, if you had been here, my brother would not have died. And when Jesus saw her weeping and the Jews who had come with her also weeping, he was, get this, deeply moved in his spirit and greatly troubled. We'll talk about that. And he said, where have you laid him? They said to him, Lord, come and see. And here's the shortest line in the Bible, verse 35, Jesus wept. So the Jews said, see how he loved him? But some of them said, could not he who opened the eyes of the blind man also have kept this man from dying? Then Jesus, deeply moved again, came to the tomb. It was a cave, and a stone lay against it. And Jesus said, take away the stone. Martha, the sister of the dead man, said to him, Lord, by this time there will be an odor, for he has been dead 4 days. If you read in the King James Version, it literally says, Lord, he stinketh. So let's keep going. Verse 40, Jesus said to her, did I not tell you that if you believed, you would see the glory of God? So they took away the stone, and Jesus lifted up his eyes and said, Father, I thank you that you've heard me. I know that you've always hear me, but I said this on account of the people standing around, that they may believe that you sent me. Verse 43, when he had said these things, he cried out with a loud voice, Lazarus, come out. The man who had died came out, his hands and feet bound with linen strips and his face wrapped with a cloth. And Jesus said to them, unbind him and let him go. What an amazing story of resurrection. Lord, I pray you give us grace this morning as we open up your word in Jesus' name. Amen. Hey, I want to highlight a couple things from our text this morning. Here's the first thing I want us to see is this, is that, do you know that faith, like resurrection faith, it's anchored in two things. The reality that Jesus, he is the Alpha and the Omega. He's the beginning and the ending. The book of Hebrews would say he is the author and the finisher of our faith. And if you can hang on to these two bookends for your life, that you know that all the messy middle will take care of itself, that he's Alpha and he is Omega. He's beginning and the ending. Do you know that even researchers have found this out? You should try this sometime. But did you know that the mind is wired that if you can see the first letter of a word and the last letter of a word, that you can mix up the other letters in between, in the middle, and you'll still be able to recognize the word. Try it, if you will. So all that matters is that you know the beginning and the ending, and the messy middle, you'll be able to make sense of it. And so here's what I want to highlight for Lazarus, is the scripture is clear, that Lazarus was loved by Jesus. And I want to make something crystal clear to you today. You are loved by Jesus. Like Jesus loves you. I've shared this at like a bajillion times at our church, so I might as well do it a bajillion and one, but scars, they tell a story. They just do. Like I have a scar over my right eye. I got someone hit me with a hockey stick, cut me for about 10 stitches. And then I got a slap shot into the face, and it split my jaw in two and in two places and had some stitches. And so I got some scars there. And then I always loved my pinky that won't go back into place. And I remember when my trainer, he popped it back into place. And I think I wanted to mouth kiss the guy. It relieved so much pain. but here's what I know. So every scar that I have, I can tell you a story about it. And I just find it so astounding that Jesus, in his resurrected body, what did he choose to do? Keep his scars, nail-pierced hands, nail-pierced feet, a wounded side. These are eternal reminders to you and to me of God's unending love for you, his unending love. And so Jesus deeply loves you. But here's the scripture. It also tells us you can be deeply loved by God, and there can be some dark things that occur in your life. It's just true. But here's what you need to remember. Remember the bookends. You're loved by God. And then do you remember the second one? You got to know that in the end, everything is going to work for good and for glory. Everything. We get a clue from John in verse 2. It says this, in verse 2 of our text, it says it was Mary who had anointed the Lord with ointment and wiped his feet with her hair. And so listen, here's why that's important. That hasn't happened yet. John is giving us a clue, like Mary isn't going to wash Jesus's feet and anoint him with perfume. She's not going to do that until John chapter 12. We're in John 11. And so here's an encouragement to you today and to me. Sometimes you just got to keep reading the story. Hey, don't get bogged down in the messy middle, but you got to keep reading. There's some good stuff to come. Like resurrection in life is coming. You got to keep reading. And so if you don't believe me, like take a snapshot of the life of Moses. Do you remember Moses? Like he had some real highs and lows in his life. It got messy in the middle though, didn't it? Like until the end, we see Moses he has to actually wander in the desert with a bunch of unbelieving, grumbling and complaining people. He does that. And then finally, God's going to let them into the promised land. And what happens? Moses dies. Like that sounds like a tragic story. But here's the appeal. You got to keep reading, keep reading, keep reading. In the book of Matthew, chapter 17, we're going to see Moses again, except he looks a little bit different. We're going to see Jesus on the Mount of Transfiguration, and he's going to be accompanied with two saints, Elisha the prophet, and who else? You're going to have Moses with a new glorified body. Man, I mean, how cool is that? And guess where Moses is standing? The Mount of Transfiguration in the promised land. See, sometimes you got to just keep reading. You got to keep believing, man. Resurrection is coming for you if you just keep believing, right? And so I can remember I went to this worship conference, and that's what I have to do now because I'm a pastor. And there's some great worship going on. And so we're all celebrating. And this artist takes center stage while worship is going on. And there's this blank canvas. And he just begins to take these watercolors. I mean, every color imaginable. And he just starts slapping it on this white canvas. It looked like someone ate a package of Skittles and vomited on the canvas. Like it was just colors everywhere. Couldn't make any sense of it until finally the worship stopped. And then he presented the painting. And I just thought, well, just chalk that up to kind of weird worship people, artists, you know. I was like, well, whatever. And then he takes the painting and he flips it. And when he flips it, you see this beautiful portrait of Jesus Christ. And it was insane. The place erupted in worship. And God has a way of flipping the mess and making something beautiful out of it, something worthy of worship. And so remember the two anchors: you're loved by God, and God promises that eventually he's going to make all things work together for good to those who love him. It's going to make sense of the messy middle. Did you notice too in verse 35, it says this of Jesus. It says Jesus wept. And listen, it's unbelievably important. Like Jesus wept, and I asked myself, Jesus, why are you crying? You're just going to raise him from the dead in a couple seconds. And like Jesus knew that, but yet we see that he is moved by the pain and suffering of his people. It's like, some of you need to know this morning. Like God's not Vulcan. He's not Spock, like live long and prosper, and he's just emotionless and it's all logic. That's not our God. Our God stands unique from all the other world religions and deities on the planet. And that is this, that our God deeply cares and is moved with our sorrows. In fact, Jesus, our God, Lord and Savior, we know this, he's an empathetic and a sympathetic high priest, and he will weep with his people. That's unbelievably important. You know, I'm so grateful for those of you that have been in prayer and in faith for one of our dear brothers here at the church, Ariel Araza, who by faith is going to overcome cancer in Jesus' name. But I know Marge Garcia, our amazing children's minister, I know she is very close to the Araza family, her and her husband Jason, and I remember she called and she was just in tears, and she was like, PA, I need to hold it together so I can be strong for them. And I just wanted to let her know. I was like, Marge, number one, you're an amazing pastor. And number two, your tears will say way more than your words. And if it's true for Marge, how much truer is it when Jesus Christ, he weeps for you and I? Jesus wept. But how many know that's kind of, it's awesome. But if I know that God has power, to move, then don't you want him to move in power? And listen, we see something, interesting in the text. If we go back to verse 33, it says this, that Jesus, when he was standing before the grave of Lazarus, it says he was deeply moved and greatly troubled. Deeply moved and greatly troubled. Do you know when you look at it in the original Greek language, it says this, he's indignant, he's furious. The word literally means to snort in anger. I don't know how many of you ever snorted in anger, you know, but he's upset. And do you know why Jesus is upset? It's because the world, his creation, is not what it was created to be. If you're familiar with the story in your Bible, you know, Genesis 1 and 2, and God creates everything beautiful and rhythmic. And it says this, that it's created in peace. It's the Hebrew word shalom. It means that there is nothing broken, nothing lacking. And it's this beautiful moment until Genesis chapter 3, when Adam and Eve, they commit high treason against God and rebel against God, break his commandments. And then God says to Adam, Adam, what have you done? And then he says, Jesus, the Lord says this. He says, because you've done this, he says, the earth is cursed. Like the earth is broken. And now we have an answer for every bit of COVID, of cancer, social injustice, racism, all these things. We can draw them all back to Genesis 3, that God's beautiful creation, it has been broken because of sin, and it infuriates our God. And so get those two things. God weeps for us as those that are sinned against, but he also is furious towards sin. And so what's God going to do? Listen, I don't know if you ever, like, we have two stations on in our home, ESPN and HGTV. And so occasionally I get to watch a little ESPN. And so I don't know if you've ever seen these E60 productions. There's these powerful little stories of overcoming. And there's one that you got to Google and check it out. It's called A Stranger's Gift. A Stranger's Gift. And it's the story of Taylor Bradford. A young man, Taylor Bradford, and his father Jim, that they were inseparable, that they did sports together, and Taylor excelled at sports, and then one day when Taylor turned 17, his father bought him an old classic Lincoln Continental. Like, it's the size of a football field. I mean, those big old cars, but it was in pristine shape. And it is a way that Taylor and his father, they bonded as they would wash and wax the car together. And the story continues that Taylor Bradford eventually got a scholarship to the University of Memphis to play football. And as he was there on campus, Jim Bradford, Taylor's father, would receive a call that no parent ever wants to get. He received a call from the Memphis hospital that their son Taylor had been shot and killed. And what happened, he was shot by, I believe, gang members. And as he was shot, he drove his car into a tree, destroying the car, and they couldn't save Taylor's life. And so they actually, the authorities delivered Taylor Bradford's destroyed and mangled car back to his father, Jim Bradford. And his, like, his father couldn't process his emotions and the loss of his son. And so he would go out to the backyard and he would begin to wash and wax this old, destroyed, mangled car. And he would weep and just remember his son. And anyways, a newscast got word of this, and they showed Jim Bradford's story. And there was a man 6 hours away in Wisconsin who owned a car body shop. And he saw the story and he was so moved. This man, Jim Harris, was so moved. He saw the this destroyed, mangled car. And he said this, "I can fix that. I can fix that." And so he made the 6 hour drive, made arrangement with Jim Bradford to take the car. He drove the 6 hours back again to Wisconsin. And then over time, cost him time, money, energy, he repaired that car back to its original glory. See, that too is our story. That Jesus sees the creation is mangled, marred, and destroyed. But Jesus says this, "I can fix it." And so Jesus, he would go to the cross and die on our behalf, and he's making everything new again. And do you remember what he told the sisters, Martha and Mary, as they're distraught about their brother that has been in the grave for 4 days? What does Jesus say? "I am the resurrection and the life." Listen, our story is a resurrection story. And here's what you need to know, that resurrection is less about an event, some far off day, and it's more about a person, Jesus. He is the resurrection. See, if I have to wait for some coming distant day, well, that's all I got to do. I have no hope right now. But if resurrection is a person, then I can plug into Jesus, the resurrection and the life. So I can't believe there's going to be a back-to-back weeks where I'm going to give you an art story. All right, bear with me. So again, I'm not the artsy guy, but I do read. And I actually saw in person a Vincent Van Gogh painting before my wife and I went to a museum, and I was like, oh, so this is a Van Gogh. But if you know Vincent Van Gogh's story, here's what you'll know. He's the son of a Dutch minister. And so as a young man, Van Gogh was a Jesus guy. Like, he was a Jesus follower until he hit these dark moments in his life when depression would set in and he would begin to unplug from his faith and from Jesus. And in fact, it was reflected in his paintings. And so in one of his earlier paintings, you can see it's called Starry Night. I believe we'll have an image of it. And it's all dark paintings with very little yellow or light. And even in the distance, you can see a little church with no light on. But later on in life, that Van Gogh would once again plug back in to Jesus, the resurrection and the life. And you'll see this new life, this resurrected life, reflected in his painting. And then a year after Starry Night, he would paint this, the raising of Lazarus. And I believe we have an image of it. And you can just see these blinding yellows used, because for Van Gogh, yellow was a sign of light and of life. And so all you see is yellow. And for the record, Van Gogh painted his face as the face of Lazarus. Because why? Because Van Gogh realized this, that Jesus is the resurrection and the life. And so here's my question for you this morning. What needs to be resurrected in your life? What needs to be resurrected in your life? Is it your hope? Like, is it your joy? Is it your happiness? Is it your marriage? Is it your children? Like, what needs to be resurrected in your life? And then notice what Jesus says. He asked the sisters, "Where have you laid him?" In other words, you have to begin to identify what you need resurrected. And so what is that thing in your life that you need Jesus to touch? The Saint Irenaeus, he would say this, that the glory of God is man fully alive. The glory of God is man fully alive. And so as things begin to resurrect in your life and you're a fully alive person, do you know your Heavenly Father gives glory? He gets glory. Listen, it's your story, but it's God's glory. And so Jesus is going to say this, roll away the stone. Or in other words, you need to make available that thing that you need resurrected by Jesus. And so some of us are going to have to roll away some stones in our heart that Jesus might resurrect that thing that you thought was long gone, was dead. Jesus wants to resurrect it because he's the resurrection and the life. And so even some of us, we've so buried that hope in our heart that sometimes we hear like Martha. Do you remember Martha's response? Hey, it's too late. He's going to stink. So listen, I want to tell you this. It is never too late for God. I don't care what anyone says. It's never too late for God. And listen, in our story, remember what it said? It said it was the fourth day that Jews often would wait 3 days to bury their deceased, because what they believed was that the spirit of a man or a woman would hover over the dead body and then possibly raise again. It's you know, when people were resuscitated, it kind of explained that for them. But on the fourth day, decomposition would set in, and they believed it was hopeless, that the spirit would go away for good. And so the fourth day, here's what that meant, that Lazarus, he was dead. Like there was no hope. But I want to tell you this, there's always hope with Jesus. And what does Jesus say? Lazarus, come forth. And what does he do? He comes forth. And I want to tell you something. Lazarus doesn't stink either. He doesn't stink at all. In fact, he smells like the very glory of God. I don't know if you know this, but when Jews would bury their dead, they would wrap them in ointment. And this ointment, the predominant fragrance was myrrh. If you're familiar with your Bible, you know this, that the holy temple, God's holy temple, was filled with perfumes and the smell of myrrh. That the high priest, that he would have a special perfume and ointment that he would wear. It was that of myrrh. And now Lazarus, covered in myrrh, they said as he raises from the dead, now he would smell like the smell of the high priest or of the temple or of Jesus. Do you remember Jesus is about to go to the cross and die, and Nicodemus would do what? Wrap Jesus in myrrh and in cloth and in linen. See, now, I don't know if you know this, but Lazarus, he smelled like Jesus. And listen, you, as you allow God to resurrect some things in your life, you are going to smell, have the sweet fragrance of Jesus Christ. Listen, I don't know if you realize this, but Lazarus, he never said a word in the scripture. There is not one recorded word of Lazarus, yet he might have been one of the greatest evangelists our faith has ever known. It says this, in fact, that the Jews that wanted to kill Jesus, now they really wanted to kill this guy Lazarus because Jesus raised him from the dead, and now people were believing in droves. Isn't that amazing? So here's the reason why. Is listen, it's your story, but it's God's glory. And our story is a resurrection story because God wants to resurrect some stuff in your life. The name Lazarus, it means one who God helps, and God wants to help you. Let's pray. Listen, before we go to prayer this morning, I want to remind you of something. Did you know that Lazarus wasn't the only person that Jesus has raised from the dead? That there was three recorded people that Jesus raised from the dead in the scriptures. Do you know one was Jairus' daughter? It was a little girl, and when Jesus got to her, she had just died. Like her body, it would have been warm, her flesh still feeling alive. And yet, and then there was another man, a young man. It was the widow of Nain's son. They were actually in a burial procession, and Jesus raises this young man from the dead. And he probably would have been dead for a day or two. His body would have been cold and lifeless. And yet, and then there's Lazarus, who is in the grave for 4 days. They were saying, oh, he's going to stink. His body is decomposing. And listen, here's my point is, you know what? They all three were in varying degrees of death. Some are more dead than others. But here's the reality. What does it matter where they're at? They're all dead. And so my point is this. Listen, Jesus didn't come to make bad people good. He came to make dead people alive. And God wants to give you new life. We read about it in John 3. Jesus says this, that you and I, we can be, he uses the term, born again. And Jesus would like to give you that new life this morning. And so if you would like to receive new life in Jesus Christ this morning, would you pray with me? Father, thank you for this time. And now repeat after me, Jesus, thank you for dying for my sins on the cross. Would you forgive me? Would you come into my life and be my Savior and my Lord? In Jesus' name. And if you prayed that prayer, would you just type into the chat box, amen, amen. Listen, God loves you, has a great plan for your life. Two brief reminders is, listen, if you're new to our church and would like to speak with a pastor, we're going to have virtual hospitality at 11 a.m. At the end of this program, our Zoom video conference call number will be made available to you. You can get on a virtual conference call with one of our pastors on staff as well. If you need prayer, just please remain on our Facebook Live feed. And at 11 a.m., we're going to have a virtual prayer counselor on to begin to pray for you in real time. And so listen, may God bless you. God keep you. Jesus loves you, and I think you're pretty great too. In the valley I will lift my eye. On the mountains I will bow my life to the one who set me there. In the valley I will lift my eyes to the one who sees me there. When I'm standing on the mountain, I didn't get there on my own. When I'm walking through the valley, I know I'm not alone. You're God of the hills and valleys, hills and valleys. God of the hills and valleys, I am not alone. You're God of the hills and valleys, hills and valleys. God of the hills and valleys, I am not alone.
Thanks for listening to the Every Nation New Jersey podcast. For more information on our church, or if you'd like to give a financial gift, just go to our website, emcnj.org.